Rachel did my presentation for me, but everything that I've learned about family planning and the family planning safety net, I learned from Rachel and her peers at Guttmacher, so I guess that's fitting. But I'm gonna take a step back a little bit and really just give some basic information about Planned Parenthood, the communities that we serve, and what we are facing in terms of the attacks on women's access to Planned Parenthood, and I think also to Rachel's point, other providers who focus on women's health care and focus on providing expert care to women of reproductive age across the country. So Planned Parenthood has 650 health centers across the country. We are in predominantly underserved communities. More than half of our health centers are in areas that by definition have a shortage of providers relative to the population they're serving. I think just hammering home Rachel's point even more. We, as a core set of services, provide regular gynecological care. So every single Planned Parenthood health center provides routine GYN care. So that's your well woman exams, your birth control, your cancer screenings, your STD testing and treatment. We also do a lot of screenings for intimate partner violence, depression screening. We do smoking cessation work. And we also provide abortion services, and that is care that we are proud to make available to women across the country. 2.5 million women come to us every year. The vast majority of them are at or below 150% of the federal poverty level. And because one of the first proposals in terms of defunding Planned Parenthood before us is focused on the Medicaid population, I think it's important to note that 50% of Planned Parenthood patients come to us with their Medicaid coverage. But really the story of Planned Parenthood is not just about the 2.5 million women who come to us every year. It's about the women who have relied on Planned Parenthood at some point in their lifetime. Either because they have come to, many women in this room, including myself, who have come to Planned Parenthood at some point in their lifetime, whether it's because they needed access to an affordable provider because they're uninsured or in between jobs. You know, a lot of women come to us when they're in college and trying to get by and get through school. A lot of women also come to us because they know that we are a safe place after a sexual assault. You cannot imagine the number of women who that's the first provider that they think of in terms of a comfortable place to go. So Planned Parenthood touches many women, and that is actually one in five women in this country have relied on Planned Parenthood's care at some point in her lifetime. 40% of American voters, either they themselves have come to Planned Parenthood or who have a close family member or a close friend who has relied on Planned Parenthood. So the connection to Planned Parenthood actually runs deep, both in terms of breadth, the number of people who have some connection to it, as well as in terms of the connection because of the service delivery that people received oftentimes in a moment where they had nowhere else to go. So people come to us for a variety of different reasons. For some women, it's because they know we are experts in women's healthcare, and I think as Rachel's slides pointed out, in particular, we are experts in contraceptive care. So for a lot of women who are looking for that right contraceptive method, they come to Planned Parenthood because they know that we are experts. Women come to us, as I mentioned, because we are an affordable healthcare provider. Our services are on a sliding fee scale, and we serve patients regardless of their ability to pay. And for some women, they come to us because we're the only provider in their community. I was just reading a story last night about a woman named Jamie from North Country, New York. It's just the very tip of New York State. And she pointed out, not like there's no health center on every corner in her community. And she was a 24-year-old young mother and discovered a lump in her breast. She called around and found that all other providers could only see her in a matter of 4 to 5 weeks. And so she thought of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood could see her that same day. They ordered a test. When the lab sent the results back to Planned Parenthood, the lab suggested that she just wait and see because she's young, she's 24, probably doesn't have to worry about it. And the doctor at Planned Parenthood just really pushed, didn't feel like that was the right decision, and both pushed her and found another provider for her to get a second opinion. It turned out that she had stage 3 breast cancer. Within 2 weeks, she was getting a double mastectomy, and on the very day that she was getting that surgery, the cancer was spreading into her lymphatic system. So if she had waited not just 3 weeks, but a day, her diagnosis wouldn't have been stage 3 breast cancer, it would have been stage 4 breast cancer. And as a person who does not have a high income, she was able to enroll in Medicaid and Planned Parenthood as an assister under the Affordable Care Act, actually enrolled her in Medicaid as well to make sure that she got the covers that she needs. And to this day, she's now 3 years cancer-free, taking care of her family, and credits her ability to access Planned Parenthood when she needed to access Planned Parenthood to get that access to care. I share that story because I think what often gets lost in Washington, D.C., and a lot of the debates and the swirl of what's going to happen when and how, are people like Jamie. And we at Planned Parenthood really try to make sure that we are holding those women center in everything that we do. We every day at our health centers are striving not only to make sure that women like Jamie have access to healthcare, but also to make sure that all women in our country get access to better quality health care. Of course, I think everybody probably at this conference could be labeled a policy wonk or a health policy nerd, depending on the terminology you like to use. And I think for a lot of us, the conversation that we really wanted to be having was one about how do we build on the progress of the Affordable Care Act? How do we move the system towards a place where more people have access to quality healthcare at a lower cost, so that we're saving money both for individuals as well as the system, and improving access to healthcare? Planned Parenthood has been on the cutting edge in terms of women's healthcare providers in that conversation around payment and delivery reform and how to innovate. We've been doing a lot of work in states like New York to partner with other providers to develop care coordination models, so that when women come in, for instance, and it's clear that they need better access to mental health services, that we have a provider on site to work with them. That's the conversation that we want to have in this country. That's the conversation I want to have. And unfortunately, instead, we're having a conversation about taking away access to basic health care. As Deborah mentioned, there is a current proposal before the Congress to include a defunding Planned Parenthood provision on the ACA repeal law. Speaker Ryan made it clear a few weeks ago that he was going to put that defund provision on the ACA repeal vehicle. Because it is a reconciliation bill and there's certain rules around the kinds of policy that can go on that kind of vehicle, this defunding provision impacts the Medicaid program. So women with Medicaid coverage, again, that's 50% of our patient population, can no longer access basic reproductive health care services from Planned Parenthood. Paul Ryan and other politicians who have been working at this for a very long time, and I think it's important note to sort of take a pause there and make very clear, for decades there have been a group of very socially conservative politicians, the same politicians who don't actually believe in certain forms of contraception like the IUD, have been attacking Planned Parenthood and calling for Planned Parenthood to be defunded and to lose, and for patients to not be able to come to us, both at the federal level and the state level. And so this policy is just an extension of a long-standing attack on women's access to our services. I just wanted to, I guess that's why I'm such a strong advocate. I mean, I've been here for 10 years, in your book, at least. And for as long as I have been here, this policy has been on the books. In fact, Vice President Mike Pence was one of the first to bring it up in 2006, and that was around defunding Planned Parenthood, excluding Planned Parenthood from the Title X Family Planning Program. And I think you saw from Rachel's slides the impact that that would have on that program. But the policy being put forward is an immediate defunding of Planned Parenthood. And so if the ACA repeal law moves forward in the next couple of months, and if they are successful at excluding Planned Parenthood from the Medicaid program, that is going to be an immediate impact on the women that we serve. Speaker Ryan and other politicians use two false claims about why they want to push forward with excluding Planned Parenthood from the Medicaid program. The first is that they claim that the federal government should not be providing reimbursements to Planned Parenthood because we are the largest provider of abortion in the country. We don't provide the most abortions in the country. We just, you know, relatively speaking, are the singular, are that provider. And as I said earlier, we are proud to provide that service to women. But because we are a provider of abortion, according to Speaker Ryan, and because, according to him, money is fungible, then Planned Parenthood, women shouldn't be able to come to Planned Parenthood for birth control and cancer screenings. This is just false on its face, and I don't need to explain, I don't think, Medicaid reimbursement to you all, but as we all know, Planned Parenthood, like every other healthcare provider, provides a set of services, and we get reimbursed for those services. The Medicaid program does not allow federal funding to go towards abortion. The Medicaid program is not allowed to cover abortion except in very limited circumstances. So while that is a law that we certainly disagree with at Planned Parenthood, it is a law that that just exists, and therefore we don't get reimbursed for abortion services. We only get reimbursed for birth control and cancer screenings. So when you look at actually the impact of the policy, and if you actually read the policy says that women can no longer use their Medicaid coverage for birth control, cancer screenings, STD testing and treatment, and other basic preventive care at Planned Parenthood. So that's the reality around that. The second claim that they make, which is I think one of the ones that Rachel already I think thoroughly explained as false, is that other providers, and in particular community health centers, can absorb the patients who are coming to Planned Parenthood, the women who are relying on Planned Parenthood. That also is just flat out false. There are, as I mentioned earlier, in many of the communities, just as a baseline where we are, the majority of communities where we are, by definition, we are in a place where there are not enough providers to meet the need. And we have relied a lot on Rachel and her colleagues at Guttmacher to address and explain, I think, what we intuitively know using data with respect to the role that Planned Parenthood plays for family planning services. So in 21% of the counties that Planned Parenthood is in, there is no other safety net family planning provider. In 68 of those counties, we are providing the majority of services, family planning services offered by the family planning safety net in that state. We work together, safety net providers. I think anybody who works for a safety net provider who works in a community and health policy focused on safety net infrastructure knows that FQHCs and community health centers and other providers often refer to us for certain healthcare services. And likewise, oftentimes when we are serving a patient and discovering that they might have severe diabetes or are on the verge of that, we often are referring them to community health centers who can provide a treatment plan for them. And public health experts have called this claim what it is. The head of the American Public Health Association called the notion that other providers, community health centers in particular, can absorb Planned Parenthood's patients ludicrous. Sarah Rosenbaum, who is an expert on community health centers, has written that people who think that community health centers can absorb Planned Parenthood patients are clearly lacking a fundamental understanding about how the healthcare system works. But you don't even have to look to the experts to tell you about why that's wrong. I think all you need to do is look at states like Texas, where they have passed defunding laws. What has happened is that there have been steep declines in women's access to contraceptive services. And in that same period of time, we saw a doubling of the maternal mortality rate, because I think, as we all know, as health policy experts, all of these services fit together. A woman's ability to plan her pregnancy is directly connected to her ability to have a healthy pregnancy. And so when you take away contraceptive access, you are sending her down a path where she could have a more dangerous pregnancy. And that Texas data gives us some hint of that. it's really important to note that the women who are going to be most impacted by this policy are the women who already face significant and unfair barriers to care. That's low-income women, it is women of color, it is immigrant women. They are the ones who are going to bear the brunt of this burden in terms of the policy. I also think it's important to point out that while, of course, when we have this conversation, at the forefront of the conversation is going to be about women who are going to lose access to healthcare, who will no longer have access to a healthcare provider, who will face not being able to get their birth control or their cancer screening. There also is an important element to this that is just fundamentally about choice. The same politicians who are testifying before committees this very week about how important it is that we do something in healthcare to give people more choice are the same politicians who are taking away women's choice, women's ability to choose the healthcare provider that they want to see. And I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that thread. I'm just going to end with just one final fact, and I think it connects back to where I began. The public overwhelmingly opposes this policy. A poll, the latest poll just came out last week showing that only 12% of people support defunding when they understand what it is. But there have been 16 separate nationwide polls endorsing this January 2017 Periundum poll showing that 70% of the American public opposes this. And that is connected to my first point, because the reason why people oppose it is because this is not some Washington, D.C. debate to Americans. They know who Planned Parenthood is.
Yep.
They have some connection to Planned Parenthood. And they don't need a Washington, D.C. politician telling them what Planned Parenthood is. Planned Parenthood is in their communities. For so many women, they have come to Planned Parenthood. They have friends who have come to Planned Parenthood. And I think that's just what I want.